friends. I know your children are glad for you to be home, but I am too, so we're very thankful to have your presence here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this hour, Lord, that you would pour your presence with us here, that you pour your spirit upon James, Lord. We think of all the needs of everything we have and the things that we don't know that we need, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bring the thoughts to James here that he could share with us, Lord, the things that you so much desire us to change, the things that you so much desire us to have. Lord, that your holiness would abode in us deeply, that we could have strength to overcome the things of this world, things of sin. Lord, I just pray you give James boldness to speak to us. Hold nothing back, Lord, that he could speak freely, clear his conscience, Lord, that he could be pure and holy before you. Pray for his spirit to dwell richly within him, Lord, that he could speak to us and that we could hear. Lord, that we could go home with a vessel filled with thy Holy Spirit and with much grace abounding in us, Lord, that we could have love for one another and appreciate one another. We do thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you have given us. We thank you, Father, for sending him. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
There it is. No salunda hermanas. Ye hermanas. El nombre de Jesu Cristo. El nombre que es más grande que cuator. Otro nombre. Jesu Cristo es lada. Verdad demimas adorao. El varia verdad el espíritu. Confío que todos estén bien esta mañana. No, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to preach a message in Spanish today. And probably, maybe even those that can understand Spanish didn't even know what I said. I was so mixed up. But anyways, what I said is good morning. I greet you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is greater than any other name. Jesus Christ is truth, and we must worship him in the truth and in the spirit. And this morning, I trust that you are all doing well. I got a few pictures that they're going to put on the wall this morning. And while they are doing that, I would like to sing a song. Page 581. And I want you all to sing, stand and sing this song and sing it with reverence.
One, two,
I trust that what we just sung is all everyone in this room's heart, that we just want to love Him more. Thank you. I have a lot on my heart. This morning to share with you. And I trust that I can do it in a timely way. My heart has been touched tremendously in the last 7 weeks. I think I first will talk about the picture that's on the wall, on the screen. I trust that the message that I have that's laying on my heart that will link together with what I want to share about my experience. By the way, Nelson, I almost thought you was going to take the message away from me. And I'll tell you why. A little later. Anyways, this picture that is on the screen is a picture that just smote my heart one day. I want to say a phrase that we heard over and over and over and over, if not over and over again. I want to explain the picture. We were standing on the banks of the Rio Grande River. The water that you see is the Rio Grande. And back beyond this picture is a huge fenced in, I'm not sure, where there was 2,000 immigrants in that fenced in area. And I'm guessing it was around 2 acres. Well, they had to move them away from the Rio Grande River. What do you suppose they were doing? They were trying to swim the Rio Grande, and many were losing their lives. Many. So anyways, but these people these immigrants that they moved away from this area were in homes surrounding in this little city. Homes that were they were not fit to live in. And they were packed in there by the dozens, maybe 70 to 60 people in one home. We experienced that, and it was horrible, the condition. But anyways, we asked this lady that was kind of taking us through this if we could come have a service on the Rio Grande, the banks of the Rio Grande. I'll never forget the day. I would say there was roughly around 200 people gathered. And we sang and preached the gospel. But as we were doing this, every now and then you would see a few people gather. Can I have the other picture? What do you think they're doing? Freedom. They want to go to America. And they're standing there gazing across the Rio Grande River. Because what you see on the other side is the USA. Common phrase. What's your goal? Oh, we're going to America. We're going to the USA. A better life. Because we're in bondage in Mexico. a burden on my heart. I think it maybe should be turned around. Bondage, America. Bondage, Mexico, unless they have Christ. And that was our message. That's what we tried to preach and portray. That unless you become free in Christ, no matter where you end up, you're in bondage. But these people, they're gazing across the Rio Grande. And that's what they're thinking. Freedom. It has to be freedom. I just had those two pictures to show. Let's keep that in mind as I go through this message today. Maybe that can be us. Maybe we are in a position in our life and we're gazing. And we have other things in mind and we have other agendas. Because we might be living in bondage. You might be living in bondage of sin. And you're looking out across the horizon. Oh, it's got to be something better out there. Or you may be in a lukewarm position. There's got to be something a little more out there. Maybe we can bring it back home. Maybe it's just not there. That's the burden that I have. A few experiences that we had. You can take this off the wall now, Dan. Or no, you can let it there. That's fine. Just let it there throughout the message. Anyways, a few experiences that we had. One of the first ones was this. We had this, the largest camp that we went to was 3,000 people in this camp. And they were in tents, as thick as you could put tents in this area, that's how they were. The second time that we went there's this man came up to me and just very corrupt looking fella. And he shook my hand. He says, I'm Lucifer. I'm Lucifer. And I said, what'd you say? Yeah, I'm Lucifer. He said, literally, I believe that I'm Lucifer. That's hard to respond to. I said, well, just explain to me. How'd you get the name? Oh, he said, I gave him that name myself. Because I don't believe there is a God. He could speak very fluent English. Anyways, I got to move on here. And he says, and I don't want you to try to tell me anything different. I don't want to hear anything you got to say. That's okay. That's fine. That's fine. So we continued to go there in that camp and we had services. We sang. We would go on one side of the camp and go on to the other side of the camp. And I noticed every now and then Lucifer was kind of walking around there. He would walk by me once. One time he walked by me, he said, don't you try to tell me anything. I said, no, no problem, sir. No problem. What was happening? Don't you try to... And I wasn't talking to him. I wasn't even communicating with him. So anyways, one day we was over there and we were having a service, and one of the volunteers, and nobody of the volunteers even knew about this man, because I didn't. He was so corrupt that I really didn't even want anybody to know that we knew him and we were communicating with him. Anyways, this one volunteer and his wife, they went up and talked to the man, and they said, he goes to this guy, he says, to the volunteer, would you pray for me? And he said, well, sure, I will pray for you. And he said, by the way, don't tell that James fella that you prayed for me. And by the way, he says, could you get me a Bible? Hallelujah. So anyways, he came up and told me, asked me, do you know of a Lucifer? I said, yeah. He said, well, he stopped me and asked me to pray for him. And then he said, don't tell James. What's going on? So I explained to him what the deal was. And then we kind of walked around there, and I walked right by the little booth. He claimed he was a security guard. That's what he claimed he was. But I don't believe that. Anyways, I walked by the booth, and I act like I didn't, just pay no attention to him. He goes, hey, James, come here. He said, can you get me a Bible? And he said, I need something else, too. I need a pair of reading glasses so I can read it. I said, yes, I will get you a Bible and some reading glasses. I don't think Lucifer's thinking quite like what he was before. By the way, I want to give you a word that he said. He says, I'm going to remain neutral. Neutral from what? So when he said that, I recognized that he realized there were two things to be neutral from. Amen? Two things to be neutral from. And in my message today, that word neutral is going to come up. I don't have time to do a lot of sharing on what our experience, but that was probably one of the most dramatic ones that we had. I don't know where he's at today, but he's got a Bible. So anyways, I went back to our base, and we got a Bible. By the way, everything was Spanish, and we had to search for an English Bible. Shame on us. We barely have any English literature there at all. It's all Spanish. And I went back there, got him a pair of reading glasses and a Bible, and he shook my hand. He says, I'm going to read it. Complete different spirit than he had before. So praise God, I don't know where he's at today, but I tell you one thing right now, if he reads the Bible and he opens up his heart and his mind, he will not stay the same. Hallelujah. Amen. Because that's what happened with us, brothers and sisters. We're not the same no more. And we were just in the same gutter as Lucifer's in. So I want you to keep these things in mind as I go through. There is a place where Christians can come in, get into, and don't even know it. I've had that experience too. The title of my message this morning is this: it's a question. Are you a lukewarm Christian? When Nelson brought the word lukewarm out, I said, oh no, he's going to take the message away from me. But that'll be okay. That'd have been okay too. Maybe it had something to add to it. And I trust today when I get finished here, by the way, I don't proclaim to tell, to know or say that anyone in this room is a lukewarm Christian. But I do want to say this. Please take inventory. Because I did, and I found areas that were lukewarm. Another thing that I'm doing today that I never done before, I have several pages of notes. I never took any notes before, but I'm not sure why I had to this time. So I'm going to try to stay in my notes. What does it mean to be a lukewarm Christian? Being a lukewarm Christian can be a hard one to work through because it means confronting a lot of behaviors that we become normal for many of us. Behaviors that become normal. I'm not going to try to go into a lot of rabbit trails here. Let's just keep in mind the word behaviors. You fill in the blanks. I think there's a few things that we need to know about lukewarm Christianity. First, let's start to identify what lukewarm Christians are. Let's identify that. And I don't proclaim to have it identified. But I believe we have some pretty good pointers. Lukewarm means neither cold nor hot. By the way, you may be sitting in here today and you're not even cold nor hot nor lukewarm. You may just be simply lost. And you're in a dangerous position there too. Extremely dangerous. Lost. I want you to listen too. This message is for everybody in this room, including me. The lukewarm meaning in the Bible describes someone who hasn't completely denied Jesus, but isn't completely living for Him either. We could just pretty much say amen, take my seat, amen. That sums it up right there. And we're living in a society and amongst the people, no matter where we're at, Fort Wayne, Mexico, Texas, it doesn't matter, that has no use for lukewarm Christianity. Absolutely no use for it. It is not a testimony, and it will nullify the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a dangerous position to be in. Very dangerous. They have lukewarm faith. Listen to this. I want you to pay attention to the next. Faith in a name, but not in action. Faith in a name. Can I give you an illustration? Will you allow me to give you an illustration? And please hear me today. I'm going to give you a scenario that I witnessed several years ago. There was this young lady that was saying, oh, we're not this, and we're not this, and we're not this, we're not this. I'm not going to use any denominations because I don't believe in that. But I want you to get a warning here. But we're this. And she was all excited about that. We're this. And the people that she was talking to said, well, what does that mean? And her face went down. She says, I really don't know. I really don't know. And I thought to myself, what's going to happen with that? I can tell you what's going to happen with that. Lukewarmness. When we rely on a name. So, have I ever been asked who I am? What part of a denomination I'm from? Absolutely. Hundreds of times, if not thousands of times. And I tell them this. I said, well, I'll tell you. You're going to be with me for a week. And let's meet again Friday night before you leave. And then you label me. And if anything other than Christianity comes up, then I got something to work on. Amen? Amen? Then I have something to work on. I got to keep moving. We can find in the Bible what it says about a lukewarm person, and we're going to read that at this time. If you would turn to Revelations, and you know these verses, and you know them very clear. Revelations 3, and I'm not going to read a lot of the verses. You know the verses. Chapter 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Does he have any use for us? No. It's a serious place to become. And I see it happening. I see it happening. In fact, I had an experience, a dramatic experience, about 2 weeks ago. To sum it up in a simple sentence, lukewarm faith is faith that doesn't affect the way you live. Strong words, amen? Brothers and sisters, I'm not here to condemn. I'm not. I'm here for a warning and an exhortation. Brothers and sisters, let's not go there. It's not the heart of God. It's too clear. Is it interesting that the term lukewarm even exists? Even exists. Because what makes Christian a Christian? What makes Christian? A Christian is their belief in Jesus, the love for Him. Remember the song, I Want to Love Him More? And their commitment to the will of God. Affections shape our actions. Affections shape our actions. There are several ways to identify a lukewarm Christian, but all of them point to an even greater concern. You become a lukewarm Christian when you allow the love of God to fade. Revelations 2. Verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have something against you, because thou hast left thy first love." To become a lukewarm church when your reverence for God fades. Both of these are an indicator that they're about to slide down a very slippery slope. A very slippery slope. A lukewarm Christian is someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus, but lives as though they are sufficient. Listen to this. That they are sufficient in themselves and don't need Him. I know many years that I lived there. They might attend church, but they're content in their own ways and rarely apply anything they learn. I believe lukewarm Christianity is explained here very clear. They might attend worship service. Listen to this. They may do charitable deeds, but only after weighing how it may benefit them. A Christian is a healthy relationship with the Lord. We'll do these things because their commitment and love for God. Their commitment and the love for God. A lukewarm Christian dismisses their need for God and disconnects from the concept of a relationship with Him because they believe they are sufficient of themselves. Without me, you can do nothing, the Lord Jesus Christ says, amen. In John 15, without me, you can do nothing. How many times do I try to do something? Without Him. Because you say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy, and have nothing, need of nothing. I do not know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Revelation 3:17. This text describes people who are so confident in themselves, they seemingly have no need for God. Because they believe they have no need for Him, they remain neutral. Here comes the word. Neutral. Oh, it's okay right where I'm at. Yeah, I don't quite agree over there with you, Brother John. Neither do I agree with you, Brother Steve. But you know what? I'll just kind of find myself someplace right there in the middle. Right there in the middle. Then I can be friends with you and I can be friends with you. Lukewarm and dangerous. I keep patting you on the back, Steve, and keep pat John. Yeah, John, you're right here and neutral, lukewarm. When the body of Christ becomes neutral, we also become ineffective. A lukewarm church aids the agenda of the enemy without even knowing it. I believe a lukewarm church is powerless to keep the enemy from coming in. That's how I believe. And when the Lord reaches out to convict and correct, when the Lord reaches out, knocks on the heart to convict and correct, a lukewarm church will reject His helping hand because they believe they are sufficient in themselves. I'm going to add something here outside of my notes. A lukewarm church produces young people that can't pray. This is serious, brothers and sisters. I experienced it. They can't have devotions. We'll never get there. Amen? Surely not. Surely not, brother. We'll never get there. Amen? But I tell you, unless we stay on fire for God and we reverence God, the holy God, we're going to get there. We're not exempt just because we're Allen County Christian Fellowship. Amen? We have a God, and He deserves to be reverenced by Allen County Christian Fellowship to its fullness. This will give you an even more clear understanding of lukewarm Christian definition and how God feels about the lukewarm Christianity. I have the verse here in a different translation. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write these things, say amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I want to make one thing clear here. I don't believe that's where we're at as a church. But I am here to tell you, if any one of you brothers and sisters in this room are, you need to repent. That's what the scripture saith too. You need to repent. I think we'll get there a little later. Why is it better to be cold than lukewarm? A cold Christian is typically aware of their choice to live for themselves and join another belief system. That's what a cold Christian will do. The lukewarm Christian is usually one that is either. They're falling away so slowly they don't recognize their own complacency. Or someone who is still trying to figure out how to get the best of both worlds. Remember what I said? I'm trying to get the best of both, of your thought and of your thought. Sorry if I'm picking you out today. I don't mean that. I'm just going to make something clear. In both of those cases, we introduce a level of deception and confusion that is damaging. Lukewarm Christianity causes a church to stop doing the will of the Lord and begin living for themselves. How many times did I read living for themselves, doing things themselves, figuring out themselves? quite often. What's worse is that it teaches we can do so without consequences. Teaching that perverts that the grace of God and that the very heart of the gospel, there'll be consequences. If we continue down the avenue of not doing the will of God, then there'll be serious consequences. I have a quote here, and I'm not sure that I 100% understand. Lukewarm Christians don't really want to be saved from their sins. They really just want to be saved from the consequences of their sins. Think about that for a moment. Sin has consequences, and they have terrible consequences. Are we willing to forsake sin? Sin. And then praise the Lord that we don't have to face the consequences. Question. Are lukewarm Christians saved? I don't want answers, okay? I just want you to sink this deep in your heart. Are lukewarm Christians saved? Salvation is a beautiful gift. Although God did his part to make it available for everyone, scriptures make it very clear that there will be people who miss out on it. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads into destruction. And there are many who go by in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few to find it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who does the will of my Father in heaven? Matthew 7:21. A lukewarm church is a church that believes in a polluted gospel. That's strong words, amen. But let's just water down the word polluted a little bit. Just don't believe the true gospel. We can wiggle away from this and we can wiggle away from this. This don't matter. That don't matter. One that leads them away from doing the will of God and away from the relationship with God. There's two phrases that we're continuing to hear. The will of God and the relationship with God produces a Christian. Amen? Add what you want. The will of God and the relationship with Him. Is it open? Have an open communication with Him. Here's where the remedy is for a lukewarm Christian. It's in Revelation 3. I counsel you to buy me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your wickedness may be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see, and may, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous to repent. That's the remedy. That's the remedy. I have a question, and I don't have this in my notes. But does a lukewarm Christian, I'm going to open this up here. Can I do that? I'm going to open this up. Does a lukewarm Christian recognize that he's lukewarm? Brother Jerry. No. No, he doesn't. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why we need to take heed, brothers and sisters, to take an inventory of our heart and then take the Word of God, the Word of God, and see if it lines up. Amen? I'm going to give you five signs of a lukewarm Christian. You're content without Jesus. No, you won't say that. A lukewarm Christian doesn't have any desire to spend time with him in prayer, worship, in the Bible, or to serve alongside of him. That's pretty strong words, but that's where it's at. You ignore teaching and conviction. You don't allow others. Hear that? The Holy Spirit, or even the Bible, to counsel you. I got it figured out. Don't you dare try to tell me anything. I've been through this. I've been through these things, and I made it through without you. And I'll make it through this one. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a lukewarm Christian. You welcome the value, teachings of philosophers and thought leaders over the full gospel of God, the full gospel of Jesus Christ. A lukewarm Christian allows philosophers and ideologies be the foundation of their choices. You're on a road to destruction if you let that happen. Unless it lines up with this. They expect God's grace to uphold them even when they oppose Him with their choices. You would rather remain neutral than to live set apart. Remember what I said about neutral a little bit ago? By the way, that's what Lucifer said. I'll just stay neutral. A lukewarm Christian will not pick sides. It's okay. They'll run from the responsibilities of choosing between righteousness and worldliness and will fight to create a middle ground. They remain neutral in an attempt to gain the best of both worlds. You use your voice to advocate your preferences, even when those preferences causes you to oppose God's moral standards. Your confidence lies in your... Are you ready, brothers and sisters? Are you ready for this one? Your confidence lies in your possessions, connections, and influences instead of the Lord. Brothers, I know I'm saying some hard things here today. I know I am. But it's for me too. Please understand me. It's for me. As I travel, this is where these burdens come from. So I have to portray them to you. I'm going to read that one again because I believe this is a hang-up. Your confidence lies in your possessions, and brothers and sisters, we have many. We have many. Those poor old immigrants, all they have is a tent. And by the way, they're relying on their possessions too. It's no different. Without Christ, it's in the same boat. Amen? It's in the same boat. But as God's people here, let's take this serious. Your confidence lies in your possessions, connections, and influence instead of in the Lord. You expect God to conform to the will of people instead of encouraging people to conform to the will of God. What God has spelled out clearly, a lukewarm Christian will allow society to alter and refine it. Redefine it. Fix it. Just take it a little. For instance, marriage. We're not going there. No way ever. Would we go in divorce and remarriage? No. Never. Why, no way, Allen County Christian Fellowship in a divorce and remarriage? But stay in a lukewarm position long enough. And that's where we're headed. And I'm just going to use that one. There's a few others. Gender identity. Never. Surely never. But it's happened. We know that it happens in our, quote, circles. Lord, help us. Lord, give us grace, give us mercy, that we can remain faithful, that we can remain rooted and grounded on the Word of God, that we won't go there. How not to be a lukewarm Christian. I have 7 areas. First one is acknowledge your need for Jesus. We all need to get there. We all. There isn't one person in this world who can be saved for eternity without Him. Romans 3:23, Paul teaches, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, Paul states, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Christ Jesus our Lord, salvation for eternity can only be found in Jesus. We are not sufficient on our own. We are in a dangerous place on our own. Overcoming this terrible spiritual lukewarmness requires us to confess. Our need for Jesus. If you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm afraid. I'm concerned, I should say, that people say they're saved and they are really not. I believe that everyone in this room that says they're saved, I believe that. But let's take heed that we just don't wrap our arms around everybody that says they're saved. Let's take heed. Because many have not come to this point right here, what I just read. Oh, I've had this fuzzy feeling. There's something happened. I got scared one night. Anyways, I'm not saying that's here, but I believe it's happening. Listen to this one. Delight. Brothers and sisters, I want you to take this to heart. We need to delight in the sound biblical counsel. There are a lot of voices that are coming in and they're bombarding the mind. There are a lot of voices that fight for space in your minds. Don't give it any space. Don't even open up. If it doesn't line up with this, then don't be afraid to say, no. It doesn't line up with this. So therefore, you need to repent. I know those are hard things to do, but I believe we need to do it. In fact, that's one of the first things that I told Lucifer. I said, you need to repent. And I found out that that was pretty hard for that man. But I believe it sunk in. I believe it sunk in. Some of them are intentionally deceptive. Some of them have good intentions, but are misleading. Others are ignorant. And then there's the Bible, the counsel of the Lord. You'll be safe there. For sure. You'll be safe there. And then, find joy in obtaining the wisdom that comes from God. Wisdom. I pray for wisdom every day in how to deal with some of the things that we have to deal with. Psalms 1:3, David says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but in his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. One way to be not be a lukewarm Christian is to find joy in studying the Word of God and spending time with God. I know that I don't do enough of that. Busy schedule. Even with what I was doing, I found myself lack in that area. To find just a time to spend with God. Oh, you got a good. The volunteers are coming in. Oh, we got to get this. Got to get make sure we got. Different. Don't matter. It's not where I want to be. But I find myself there sometimes. Value the wisdom. Value the wisdom in the counsel of God is a very good remedy for not being a lukewarm Christian. Put a high value on it. The highest. There's no limit to the value that you can put on the counsel of the Lord. No limit. Let's do it, brothers and sisters. We live in a society that teaches us to find wisdom in people. Unfortunately, people fail, and our wisdom fails. That is why it's important for us to value God's wisdom, the counsel of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit above any other voice. Proverbs 1:7, we're advised. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom starts and ends with the counsel of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lukewarm Christian will lean on the unstable guidance with philosophers, again it comes in there, and world figures. Huh? What? World figures? Who could fall in that category? A genuine Christian will lean on God's wisdom when it requires to go against the grain. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. This is encouragement. Maybe some of the things that I was preaching here today was just a little bit suppressing. That wasn't my heart. But this is uplifting. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. For the ones who are living for God, for the ones who have been sold out for Christ, for the ones that have laid the foundation and they're on the rock of Jesus Christ, for those, He gives wisdom and He gives understanding. And you're safe there. Then you're ready for the enemy that comes in and says, "What do you think about this deal? What do you think about this idea that don't line up with this?" No. Because we're founded on the rock. He is a shield. He is a shield who to them that walk uprightly. Your choices are a reflection of what you love. Be passionate about what he is passionate for. Let me read that again. Your choices are a reflection of what you love. Love Jesus more than anything. Be passionate of what He loves. We have that in the Scriptures, very clear, what He loves. About what he is passionate for. Love what He loves. Hate what He hates. And advocate for the things that He stands for. We are only whole when we are walking in a relationship with Jesus. That's the only thing that makes us whole. We need to be thankful for what God has provided and allowed us to enjoy. There's nothing wrong to enjoy what we have. There's nothing wrong in that. There's nothing wrong to enjoy some of our possessions. That's not wrong. Please understand me. But keep your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, brothers, I went over my time a little bit. That was the burden that I had today. Let's settle it today. Let's not be found gazing across for something better when we have it right here. So may God bless you, and please pray for us. We're just here for a short time, and Lord willing, we'll be traveling again. So pray for us. We need it. I probably need it more than any of you in this room for the things that we have to face. So may God bless you.